Everybody for being here for this special board meeting. Let's call the meeting to order. Sherry, can we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Hero?
Yes.
Beanstalk? Christensen?
Yes, Sherry. Thank you.
Thank you. Dinar?
Present.
Elgindy? Goodman?
Virtually present.
Carmo? Morrow? Pinna?
Yes.
Rossi?
Yes.
Seaman?
Present.
Absent are Beanstalk, Elgindy, Carmo, and Morrow.
Thank you, Sherry. Agenda item number 2, declaration of conflicts of interest. Any board members need to state any conflicts? Okay. I'd ask anyone here that's going to speak to stand and raise your right hand. We're going to swear you in. It's kind of weird doing it virtually, but we're going to do it nonetheless. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Okay, great. Agenda item number 3A. I'm going to break from my usual format on how I call investigations agendized like this and kind of give my perspective, and then I'd like to have some board discussion, and from there we can determine how we want to proceed. But when we opened this audit, I believe there were 3 general questions. The first was if there was a pattern of violation or a systemic issue. The second was if there was widespread clinical issues, including an absence of comprehensive exams. And the third one was, has there been improvement over the last few years? And Dr. Moody in particular said he had instituted some changes a few years ago and adopted some protocols with the intent of improving whatever issues he had identified at the time. And I want to get Dr. Cutler's perspective first, but my thought is there really were not a pattern of violations or any kind of systemic issue. There were some record-keeping issues, particularly with local anesthesia and blood pressures being taken, but I wouldn't call it some systemic problem. I didn't see widespread clinical issues. There were some issues with a lack of comprehensive exams, but like the record-keeping issues, there was an improvement over the last few years, which seemed consistent with what Dr. Moody had stated at a previous board meeting, which kind of answers the third question I had posed. So I'm of the mindset to take this, all the licensees listed under A, like we would a consent agenda, and either dismiss all of them or issue a letter of concern and record keeping. I'm more inclined to dismiss. I think if we audited any practice, mine included, you're going to find record-keeping issues. You're going to find some things that maybe are less than ideal. That's going to be true in any good practitioner's office. We all strive for a very high level of care, but sometimes things get missed in records. Sometimes treatment is a little less ideal than what you want. But in talking to Dr. Cutler, one thing that resonated was when issues came back before them, even years later, they would correct them at no charge. I think that's a sign of a practice of providers that they're trying to do right by their patients. So for the sake of time, I thought having some board discussion first was important. So Dr. Cutler, I'm going to call on you next, and then I'm going to open it up for board discussion, and then we can decide how we want to handle it. If the board's consensus is you guys want to talk about each case individually and not handle it like a consent agenda, we will certainly do that. But Dr. Cutler, go ahead, and then I'll open it up to the board for discussion.
Thank you, Dr. Harrell. So initial record review was 39 records, which was picked out by the complainant. And there was some issues, as Dr. Harrell stated. However, I did, even initial 39 records, I did do an analysis where some of them did improve since the campaign and complaint in 2022. And there was a little bit of effort to improve. However, with the 101 records review, which was 2 to 3% of the records from 2020 to 23, there was a lot more improvement since year 2022. And there were some forms that Dr. Moody shared with me with the local anesthetic attempt to improve its and there was some I did see one effort in a with a blood pressure reading. They did change the tolerance, the maximum tolerance for it was 160/100. So they did correct that as well in a form that I saw, which was a referral to a specialist. And a lot of the comprehensive exam issues, I believe the ones that was a little higher percentage than others who wasn't as diligent about taking the initial comprehensive notes, I believe they're no longer with the implant pathway or Neurizen company. And so those are, so if you look at the spreadsheet, you see the improvement. And it, a lot of the initial allegations of referral was also proved that 44% are self-referred or family-referred. So that's pretty high in terms of patients coming to see this clinic. And there's also referral from outside providers. And there was a very small percentage from nonprofit organizations. And there was a pretty good amount that I couldn't tell where they're referred from, but so that was a result of the audit. So if you have any questions individually, let me know. One of the things that I do want to clear up, I don't know, I got a late email from Mr. Keith Cart last night regarding the 1304 permits holders, and that has been cleared. I did double check the date, addresses, so that's been cleared. The only thing that is still up in the air, and if board wants to discuss it, is the issue with Dr. Brian McHugh.
Dr. Hero.
Yes. Sorry about that. What I said was, Dr. Cutler, thank you, and thanks for all your work on the audit. I know that was time intensive. And then I called on Seamus, Mr. Monahan.
Yeah, I just wanted to be careful. I know we're kind of going down a route where we might start discussing these, so I think it's important for the board to determine what they're going to do. If you do plan on dismissing all of them, I think anybody's going to complain if you take 1 through 17 and dismiss them. I think that if there is different dispositions, then you should go through each one, even if it's just to dismiss it.
Right. Thank you, Seamus.
Yep.
Let's do this then. Sherry, why don't you call on each board member individually and say what you think, please, and that way we can make a decision on how we want to vote.
Hero?
I vote to dismiss everything.
Christensen?
Yes, I would vote to dismiss everything with the, you know, just I think as they work to improve, patient care and their record keeping, I think just a thorough workup prior to, you know, them scheduling the patient, having the surgery, I can just see how sometimes things can, patients show up on the day of surgery. They have those that are learning the implant pathway program, dentists that are showing up from out of state. I think there can be a certain amount of pressure that can be applied to the situation where maybe they're proceeding when maybe they ought to just, reassess and take a little bit more thought into that. And I think just a little bit more thorough workup would solve that. Blood pressures, you know, at the time of workup, you know, a week or two before, then these patients would have the opportunity to have the care provided and those that are attending this program, the patients to be able to provide care for. So that would be my only.
Well, Dr. Christensen, do you think a letter of concern for everybody? I mean, would you rather see that to address some of the things you're talking about?
I wouldn't be opposed to that either.
Okay.
I think that would be appropriate. I guess I don't feel strongly. I think they have made efforts to improve. Like you alluded to before, Dr. Hero, just having a appropriate workup, appropriate documentation, I think is going to correct a lot of this. And that would be my adding to that. But I'm all for doing a consent agenda and proceeding forward in that case.
Great.
Dino?
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm fine with dismissal as well as letter of concern. If the professional members think the letter of concern is the way to go, I'm fine with doing everything as a bulk instead of going individually. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodman?
Well, as far as the audit, I'm okay with either of the two paths that are being discussed. The level of concern that we had when we reviewed this that brought us to the point of an audit was pretty grave, and we're, you know, that level of concern to now move into a dismissal or a letter of concern would be concerning for me. I think we did expect to see different things in the audit, but the primary concerns from back then, how are we addressing them?
Pina?
I'm tending to agree with Mr. Goodman, and I am happy to take this as a consent agenda item.
Rossi?
I too also am agreeing with Mr. Goodman to some degree in regards to the gravity of what brought us here in the first place. So I would be more inclined to do a consent agenda for a letter of concern, especially around some of the anesthetic dosages and things like that that go beyond just record keeping. So I think a letter of concern would be more apt to lean that direction.
Seamus?
And, you know, again, sorry to be the wet blanket, but if we're going to do letters of concern, I would give everybody the opportunity to at least address the board since they're here, and that is different than a dismissal.
Okay.
Seaman?
I think I would agree with everybody. The only thing that kind of stuck out to me was the consistency of the blood pressure thing, which doesn't seem to be a huge thing, and the overdosage of epinephrine and the anesthetics and stuff. And those were the only consistent things that I saw over and over again.
Great. So I guess, I mean, one more time, Seamus, you don't want us to take all of these at once for a letter of concern. You want me to go through each one individually?
Yeah, I do. And again, whether or not the respondents wants to speak or their attorneys, that's up to them. But yeah, I think it's more appropriate not to do in the consent agenda, especially since we didn't agendize it that way.
Okay. Then I'll call agenda item 2022-00063, Dr. Moody. Dr. Moody, would you like to speak before we vote for a letter of concern?
Dr. Hero, this is Robert Cathcart. I'm here today on behalf of Dr. Moody. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today. And I can give explanation about why, but it's for good reasons. I can share with you that Dr. Moody has tried really hard to implement all of the guidance that he's learned throughout all of this. I think you are correct that is demonstrated in the chart audit that was done. And when we look at going forward, I know that Dr. Moody is very receptive to hearing any and all input that the board has. And I can also say with a very high level of confidence that I'm going to be recommending to him that he listen to today's board meeting when it gets posted here. And I'm very confident that he will. And I can say with a high level of confidence that he will make sure that he takes every step that he can to implement that.
Great. Thank you. Then I'm going to make a motion that we issue a letter of concern to Dr. Moody for record keeping and record keeping blood pressure and local anesthetic use.
Christensen seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, one opposed. April?
Yes, I just had a quick question. Is this strictly for the first case, or is this for number 16 as well?
I think we could do it for number 16 as well.
Thank you.
Is that all right, Seamus?
Yeah, do you just want to include that in your motion and vote on it?
Sure, right? I'll amend my motion that this is for cases 202-200063 and 202-300134.
And I amend my second and with the same numbers that Dr. Heroes mentioned.
And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, unopposed. Case number 2023-00098, Dr. Ania. I'd like to make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for the previously stated reasons.
Christensen seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023-00099, Mr. Connor? Mr. Connor, did you want to speak to this one or the last one?
Jeff, you're on mute.
We can't hear you, Jeff. Did you want to speak to case two or three? Okay, I'll skip it and come back. Are you on any other cases?
Sounded like 12.
All right. So we'll skip three. Case number 2023-00.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
All right, got it. Sorry. Yes, in case number three, Dr. Barrett, and case number 12, Dr. Sheff, in both those cases in May of 2024, in other cases but also involving the same implant center, the board sanctioned both of them and ordered record keeping, 4 hours of record keeping and 4 hours of local anesthesia. So I believe that would cover these issues. So we would ask for dismissals instead of a dismissal with a letter of concern.
Okay, then I'll amend my – well, I didn't officially make the motion. I'll make a motion that for case number 2023-00099 and 2023-00109, we dismiss.
Christensen seconds.
Okay, discussion, Ms. Penner.
Yes, a question for Mr. Tonner. Just to make sure I'm on the same page, we're – discussing the exact same cases and case numbers.
I'm sorry that you're...
No, Ms. Penna, I think they were different cases, but the idea is they've already had continuing education on this. So,
okay.
And I believe these cases occurred before the 2024 one. Is that right, Jeff?
That's correct.
Yeah, so... For cases that happened after this, we issued CE. So
thank
typically,
you.
Yeah. I'll do all in favor.
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed.
Thank you.
Case number 2023-00100, Dr. Pilling.
Yes, hello, Leah Shacker on behalf of Dr. Pilling. I just wanted to note that of the 100 case chart audit, there were no additional deviations found. In the prior investigation back in 2023, there were 5 allegations investigated and only one was substantiated. There were no substantiations for failure to maintain records, inadequate treatment plan, inadequate diagnosis, or inadequate dental implants. It was exclusively related to 11 carps of local anesthetic being administered. The amount, concentration, and type was noted, and this was back in 2020. The half-life was taken into account, and the mentees were the ones who were providing this treatment. So I know the board is aware of the argument here that these were the mentor doctors who were not responsible for charting, time stamping the local anesthetic. So based on that very singular allegation, we do not feel that a letter of concern is warranted and are asking that this be dismissed.
Thank you. I don't buy the mentor argument. I think they're still responsible. So I'll make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for use of local anesthesia.
Chris is in seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023-00101.
Hi, this is Lori Metcalf appearing on behalf of Dr. Adedoyin. She has a conflict today. I think she was going to try to appear, but she has not yet. So I just wanted to point out to you all that she was also a mentor, and there were five allegations initially. All of them were deemed unsubstantiated, and she also had no restitution in this case. So we would ask for a dismissal on this one rather than a letter of concern.
Dr. Cutler, did you find any record-keeping, blood pressure, or local anesthesia issues with this licensee?
During the audit?
Yes.
Not the initial audit, but during the audit, I think there was one.
Okay.
Let me double check. I believe there was one just called. Yeah, there was just one. With the 14 crepitals and local anesthetic without any additional information documented.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Dr. Cutler?
There was a 14 crepitals of local anesthetic administrated without additional information documented.
Thank you. Ms. Penna?
Dr. Cutler, do you by chance know what page that is on of the packet?
My report, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's 15494.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And over an administration of the epinephrine as a result.
So I would make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for local anesthetic use.
Christensen in seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023-00102, Dr. Caldwell.
Leah Shacker on behalf of Dr. Caldwell. In Dr. Caldwell's cases, there was a single alleged deviation back in the old chart audit, the 2023 audit, and that was that the patient vitals, the blood pressure was 170 over 90 during the case on March 25th of 2021. Investigators cited the ADA recommendation to take a second blood pressure reading of when it's greater than 160 over 100, but we feel that the use of this standard is misplaced. That was not in effect at the time of treatment. That standard was published in November of 2022. The American Heart Association relies on 180 over 110. For elective procedures, that's often even cited by the board for the rule of 300. There is notation in the investigative report that in another case, Dr. Caldwell appropriately handled the patient's blood pressure within the standard of care by taking a second reading. Also, what's not discussed in the investigative report but came up in many other cases where there was an indication of mindfulness in her treatment. Neurosensory testing, referral to oral surgery. So previously she had been recommended to take risk management continuing education, and she already took that upon herself back in 2023 to do that continuing education along with countless other hours of continuing education. For the new 100 chart audit, there were some alleged clinical issues. One of the things was the valid 1304 permit, but we rectified that, and she did have that permit. There was a claim that the implants were 3 to 4 millimeters subcrestal, and we submitted. We didn't have much time, obviously, much notice for this meeting, but we did submit CT scans showing that this was planned and the subcrestal position was required to have adequate width of bridge support for the implants long term. The case was acceptable prosthetically. The implant at that depth was restored and has been restored for over 2 years. And so we disagree with that clinical issue as well. The remaining issues were record keeping, referral to a PCP, which was recommended. And there was, again, the issue with blood pressure. There was one case back in 2020 where there was missing chart note, and that was inadvertent. And I think, as Dr. Hero noted, you know, that's going to happen sometimes in a lengthy audit of anybody's cases. So I think that Dr. Caldwell has made all of the changes that have been requested. She's been involved in that, and we're requesting that this case be dismissed.
Dr. Cutler, in your audit, did you find record-keeping issues, local anesthesia issues, and or blood pressure issues?
The only thing that I found was the blood pressure issues. And the blood pressure issues are after 2022. And also, at one time, she did have a CRNA doing sedation, IV sedation, when she did not have a 1304 permit at the time.
If I may speak to that, and by the way, we did not receive any of the records. We did not receive the 120-page audit report that was provided to other counsel. We received snippets from one singular treatment visit. So, you know, that's a little bit problematic for us to be getting 2 weeks notice and then be expected to respond to allegations. I understand we, like the board, have taken these considerations and these concerns very seriously. We also want these cases to be adjudicated. But these professionals have been undergoing this audit and this scrutiny for years now. And so I feel that we need to have, you know, a fair opportunity to respond to some of these, which we are not entirely able to do without a set of records for these patients or even, you know, patient names and individuals who are practicing outside of this state who don't have access to the records. As far as the 1304 permit, permitting issue, Dr. Caldwell, I did send in some additional documentation to show that Dr. Caldwell had the site inspection scheduled 2 weeks before that treatment was rendered. The site inspection occurred and was passed on that date. And they were informed by the board inspector that they were lawful to practice and that the certificate would come in the mail and that she needed to put it on the wall once it was received, which is what she did when she got it 2 weeks later. I did call the CRNA to confirm that that information was correct. He also advised me that he does many, many of these site inspections, and that is routinely what they are told, in addition to the fact that sedation cases were already occurring at that location, including scheduled on that very same date that Dr. Caldwell did her sedation. So it was already, the entire office was already equipped. She was getting her permit, and that she already had that inspection and passed it 2 weeks prior.
I'm going to make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for risk management and blood pressure. And I'm doing risk management because of the question of the 1304 permit, and Ms. Shocker had said that there was one record, one chart with a record-keeping issue.
Questions and seconds.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes, none opposed. Case number 2023-00103, Dr. Sass.
Leah Chakra on behalf of Dr. Sass. For the 100-patient chart audit, there were no additional deviations from Dr. Sass. This was back to a singular case in 2021, before Dr. Sass ever received a board complaint or had any knowledge of these issues. It was, again, the failed to take a second blood pressure reading, which we believe that use of that 160 over 100 standard at that time is misplaced. And the other issue was, actually, I believe that the documentation, sorry, of the local anesthetic for carpules of septicane that were administered and no other medications were administered. And so we're requesting that Dr. Sass's case be dismissed. He is also, I will let you know that he has taken, since December of 2023, has taken 83 additional hours in continuing education and had already taken risk management and the standard of care course by Dr. Dovkin. And while he appreciates the board's concerns, requests that the complaint be dismissed.
I make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for record keeping, local anesthesia, and blood pressure.
Christensen seconds.
Ms. Penna.
Since he has already taken the CEs, should we dismiss this case?
No. It's okay. Different when there's been a previous case that we adjudicated and ordered CE versus when licensees just electively take CE to try to get ahead of the adjudication of a case. I think Ryan feels very passionately about that one.
Thank you.
Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes, none opposed. Case number 2023-00104, Dr. Fitton.
Leah Shacker on behalf of Dr. Fitton. Dr. Fitton worked with Implant Pathways for a limited period of time and hasn't worked there since 2023. There was in the chart audit one new case listed, but this is actually not a new case. This is the same case that came up in the 2023. So it was a singular case against Dr. Fitton for the failure to maintain records issue. One of the things was a lack of note for the extraction of tooth number 30, lack of diagnosis. The CBCT shows obvious gross decay approximating the pulp and radiolucencies present on that tooth. That information was not addressed in the investigative report. Also, the referral was from the patient's orthodontist for the extraction of that tooth. So we feel that the documentation taken as a whole is sufficient. As far as the other issue was the local anesthetic and the alleged overdosing. There was a documentation of the amount, type, concentration, and it was noted in the chart that this was a 5-hour treatment of both arches. So while it was not time-stamped per se back in 2021, there was also documentation to try and indicate this was a lengthy case of treatment of both arches and half-lives were of concern and consideration. There was at least 2 to 3 hours between doses. So we're requesting that this case be dismissed.
Dr. Cutler, any blood pressure issues with this case?
There was no blood pressure issue, but for this particular case, he injected 12 carpules of 0.5% Marcaine with 1 in 200K epinephrine. This one, they do have a maximum rate of dose, which is 90 milligram, which is equal to about 10 carpules per setting. That's in the FDA, that's in the insert packaging, that they do not recommend giving more than 90 milligram per treatment.
Thank you, Dr.
10 card pills.
I'll make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for use of local anesthesia and record keeping.
First and 10 seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023-00105, Dr. Nagao.
Leah Shacker on behalf of Dr. Nagao. There in this chart audit, there were, in the prior cases, there was an issue with the local anesthetic dosing. Again, this never administered at once during these appointments. There were back in 2021 and 2022 some alleged blood pressure. You know, as I stated, again, we disagree with the 160 over 100 cutoff, but that's certainly what they are looking at now. There was a case where the investigator was claiming that the blood pressure didn't come down significantly. We do feel that there was an improvement in the blood pressure, and Dr. Nagao had administered Presidex to help bring the blood pressure down. And there was mindfulness showing that there were various recordings being taken. So at most, we're requesting that this case be issued a letter of concern for those issues.
Ms. Shacker, you could have just said we're good to go with our regular motion.
Well, I was working through it to see what we were going to request. Obviously, I'm pivoting based on the board's response here.
I know, I'm just teasing you. I make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for record keeping, use of local anesthesia, and blood pressure.
Christians in seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023-00106, Dr. Tauser. Dr. Cutler, do the three deviations apply, record keeping, local anesthesia, and blood pressure for Dr. Tauser?
Yes, sir. His blood pressure was like 205 over 105, 214, 114. He did write a letter. He did write a letter to the board in his absence. That's in the supplemental packet.
I make a motion that we issue a letter concerned to Dr. Tauser for record keeping, local anesthesia, and blood pressure.
Christensen seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023-00108, Dr. Farkas.
Leah Shacker on behalf of Dr. Farkas. There was only the singular case from 2021 in this chart audit where there was in 2021 a blood pressure of 143 over 100 and 1 and no second blood pressure. So we disagree that that was a deviation. As far as the older chart audit, there was an allegation about excessive local anesthetic dose, but the investigator, there's some discrepancy based on what was documented in the chart and what was on a separate form, and Dr. Farkas signed the chart but not the form, and it appears to be a clerical error. I would also just note that the MRD that is being used of the 40 is based on alleging that this patient was a high-risk heart patient, which we disagree with. So we think that that was, one, a clerical error, and two, within limits for this patient. Dr. Farkas had a moderate sedation license. He's trained on how to handle situations with elevated blood pressure, and there was no untoward outcome for this patient, and the patient came back and got the implant. So we're requesting that this case be dismissed.
I make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for record keeping, local anesthesia, and blood pressure.
Questions and seconds.
Discussion?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023, oh, we did number 12. Case number 2023-00110, Dr. Kieber. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle Thompson on behalf of Dr. Kieber. To refresh the board's recollection, Dr. Kieber's complaint was previously recommended for dismissal back in December of 2023. I think it was only one of maybe a few at that time recommended for dismissal. The investigator did not substantiate any allegations against her. What we're here today about is out of the apparently 100-plus chart reviews, there was one substantiated allegation against Dr. Kieber, and that she did not take a second blood pressure reading on a single patient on a single day years ago. It is her normal practice to do so. It was missed. Whether it was a documentation or not, we don't know, but that is her policy. And I will point out that just in the prior visit, she documented detailed notes, noting that the patient forgot to take their blood pressure medication for 2 days and reminded the patient of the importance of taking his medications as directed by his physician. We asked this board to take her case on its own merits, and I don't think one patient on one day years ago is enough to justify a letter of concern. I think dismissal is appropriate. Thank you.
Dr. Cutler, did you want to add anything?
No, it was just one incident.
In this case,
he provided treatment at the time either.
In this case, I would make a motion that we dismiss.
Christensen seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. I'm going to call cases 14 and 17 at the same time, 2023-00111 and 2023-00135, Dr. Vorholt.
Yes, thank you. Leah Schacker on behalf of Dr. Vorholt. I will quickly address 17, case number 135 first. That one was a case that Dr. Vorholt was not involved with from the outset. He later saw the patient after they were already getting their restorations, and there was some discord about the patient not understanding that the restorations were not provided free of charge. So Dr. Vorholt didn't treatment plan that, didn't explain that to the patient at the beginning because he wasn't involved in that case. And then they ultimately did resolve that with the patient by paying for her prosthetic based on the confusion as a professional courtesy. So we would just ask that that case be dismissed. As to the case 14, 111, I suspect Dr. Vorholt would receive a letter of concern based on local anesthetic dosing and documentation. I do want to note that he was, you know, really integral in trying to help make those all of these documentation issues a priority to make the improvements that Dr. Hero noted from the chart audit. So he really assisted with making templates, developing record keeping protocols, you know, checking in on the comprehensive exams, helping with staff education on various facets. So, he's willing to accept the letter of concern, but I did want to note that.
Thank you. Dr. Cutler, was there any blood pressure concerns on case number 111?
Yes, it's the same as usuals.
Okay. I make a motion that we dismiss 135, but for case 111, we issue a letter of concern for record-keeping local anesthesia and blood pressure.
Christensen seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Case number 2023-00112, Dr. Pozyznik. Dr. Cutler, all three issues pertain to this licensee, record keeping, local anesthesia, and blood pressure.
No, with this provider, there was only one, the blood pressure issue, but there wasn't any deviation found during the chart audit. Initial review had the blood pressure, but not during the chart audit.
So the only, but there was an issue with the blood pressures?
With the initial 39 records, yes.
I'll make a motion that we issue a letter of concern for blood pressure monitoring.
Christensen seconds.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, none opposed. Agenda item B1, Mr. Diner.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Hero. I just wanted to make a global statement regarding all of these cases. So if I recall correctly, I was against doing this audit from the very beginning. And now it feels like, you know, after spending a lot of hours in getting consultants to review the charts and all of this, we are, you know, anybody who is looking at it in hindsight is bound to find something. Like, oh, you did not note the blood pressure. You did not note this or that. It doesn't really help the board efficiently conduct its business to do these sort of comprehensive audits. So I would caution the board, at least on the record, that the next time you're thinking of these sort of audits, we should be a little circumspect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dyer. I appreciate it. Agenda item B1, case number 202300482, Dr. Janice.
Good afternoon, Mandy Carvis, counsel for Dr. Janice appearing. Dr. Janice is also present virtually as well.
Thank you for being here. Dr. Janice, have you been sworn in?
Yes, I have.
Great. Mandy, did you want to make an opening statement?
Sure. Excuse me. I waited so long to talk that I lost my voice. My apologies. We are before the board today to review the ALJ decision that was recently entered with respect to Dr. Janice. As the members of the board are aware, the administrative law judge issued a recommended order recommending the following, that the board rescind their order summarily suspending Dr. Janice's license, that he would be placed on probation for 12 months, that within 6 months of the effective date of the order, that he should provide the board that he has completed 4 hours of risk management in continuing education, 3 hours in management of medically complex patients, 3 hours in infection control, and that he also complete 30 hours of CE in parental sedation to include patient selection, drug administration, monitoring, and emergency preparation, and that his 1302 permit would be suspended until he completed those CEs in parental sedation. Dr. Janice has been unable to practice since October based on the board summary suspension. This has been a significant financial hardship to him. He continues to face financial hardship every day that he is not allowed to practice. The Office of Administrative Hearing held nearly a 2-day hearing to come to their conclusion. We believe it is reasonable and appropriate and would ask that this board enter an order consistent with the recommended order from the ALJ, and we would seek to have Dr. Janice's license reinstated as soon as possible, again, to avoid further financial hardship. Should the board have any questions or concerns that they would like me or Dr. Janice to address, I would be happy to do that, but again, we appreciate the opportunity to be heard and thank the board for getting us on this special meeting agenda and not making us wait until the next meeting. I can't say enough how much we appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you. Ryan, do we have counsel on for the board for this? Because I know.
Yeah. It's Carrie.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Smith. Appreciate you being here. So a reminder to the board, if there's legal questions, we need to direct them to Carrie Smith. Mr. Monahan, did you want to make any statements regarding the case?
Yeah, Dr. Hero, I don't want to jump out of line. I know that if we're going to review it, there's a specific script at which time, you know, I could provide you the state's position on the recommendation.
Yeah.
But before that, I don't want to jump out of line. So.
Yeah, Seamus, thanks. I was going to actually note that Dr. Hero, you did call the case, but generally, and I know you heard Ms. Harvis's opening statement, but I think as a preliminary matter, you need to ensure that have the board members indicate that they have received and reviewed the record in the case.
Sure. And I have that open now. I was having some computer issues, so honestly, I didn't have it in front of me. But let's, Sherry, go through, and I just want to identify, I want each board member to identify that they've reviewed the ALJ's decision and the information in the packet.
Hero?
Yes, I received it and I reviewed it.
Christensen?
I have not reviewed the ALJ yet.
Dinar?
I have received and reviewed, thank you.
Goodman?
Received and reviewed, Goodman.
Pena?
Pena received and reviewed.
Rossi?
Rossi has also received and reviewed.
Seaman?
Received and reviewed.
Thank you.
Okay, great, thank you. So the board will now hear oral argument from parties on the ALJ's recommended decision. Please understand that this is not the time for you to re-argue your case. Please focus on the recommended penalty and any changes you are requesting to the ALJ's recommended decision. Each party will have 5 minutes. Because the state has the burden of proof in this matter, it shall go first. The board will then hear from the respondent, and the state will then be given time for a brief rebuttal. So go ahead, Mr. Monahan.
Thank you, Dr. Hero, board members. Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan representing the state today. So, again, the state's position is that the ALJ made findings in her decision that were consistent with the board's factual allegations and potential violations of law that the board brought forward in its complaint notice of hearing. So, for that reason, the state's position is that it would respectfully request you to accept those findings of fact and conclusions of law as they are written in that decision by the ALJ. Given the posture of this case and the recommendation by the ALJ, the state is going to respectfully defer to the board on the appropriate disposition in this case. As the board may choose to accept the ALJ recommendation for disposition if it agrees with it. The board may find revocation appropriate as well, given the ALJ's findings of fact and conclusions of law, and the state will just leave its position at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Licensee, you can go ahead.
Yes, since we did things a little out of order, the only thing that I will state for the record at this point is that we are requesting that the board enter an order today consistent with the recommendations and the decision from the ALJ, as we believe that's an appropriate outcome here, and Dr. Janice would be willing to abide by all of the terms of that recommended order from the ALJ. Thank you.
Thank you. And Seamus, did you have a rebuttal?
I did not. I think the state's been pretty clear, unless you have any questions.
Great. Thank you. Well, I mean, I think initially we can vote to accept the proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law, since there's not really any dispute on those. Ms. Smith, can I make one motion to accept both, or should I make two separate motions, one on findings of fact and one on conclusions of law?
You can do the findings of fact and conclusions of law together.
Great. And I'll make a motion that we accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law without modification.
Seaman seconds.
Can we get a roll call, Sherry?
Yes. Hero?
Yes.
Christensen?
Yes.
Dinar?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Pena?
Yes.
Rossi?
Yes.
Seaman?
Yes.
Motion passes unopposed. So the real question is on the order. I mean, there's not new information that's being presented. There was no argument that the findings of fact were accurate. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Donner.
No, I didn't want to interrupt you, Dr. Hero. I'll do it. I'll say what I have to say after you finish.
It's okay. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say I am inclined to do what we initially did, which is suspend the license because this, you know, using a unsanitary equipment is just beyond anything we have ever seen.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I don't know how you evaluate these findings, agree with them, and come to a different conclusion. And not only did we come to that conclusion, we enacted a summary suspension, which is something we've done maybe once in the last, I don't know, 6 years or so, because we felt that the licensee posed an immediate threat to public safety. So I just stand by our regular decision. And, you know, I think the most efficient way to go through this is, Sherry, I'm going to just ask you to call on each board member and let them give their opinion, and then we can make a decision.
Okay. Can we discuss it first a little bit, Anthony?
Oh, for sure. I wasn't proposing that I wasn't making a motion to move forward. I just want to make sure we hear from everybody. Dr. Seaman, since this is, you know, substantial, so why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Well, I had a few questions about the legality of it, and that is when it was offered probation, what does that mean exactly for the licensee to be under probation? Are there stipulations of that probation, or is it just a status of the licensee?
Ms. Smith, do you want to answer that?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The recommended order from the ALJ would place the license on a period of probation for 1 year. The terms, as he's laid out in them, under that probation would be for the licensee to commit to complete certain continuing education credits within 6 months. The licensee's 1302 permit, according to the ALJ's recommended order, during that period of probation would remain suspended until he completed additional 30 hours of CE and parenteral sedation. And the ALJ doesn't address how the probation would be terminated, but those are the terms that are in the recommended order. The board would have authority at this point to accept, reject, or modify that recommended order by the ALJ.
With the lack of specificity in that, I would hesitate to accept it as a probation. I don't feel like there's some specifics in that probation other than it's because we offer people the chance to do lots of things with just get a few hours of CE and then you're good to go. And I don't know that that's exactly where I would like to go with it. My next issue, I think, was with what is the issue if we don't accept the ALJ's? Where do we stand? Does ours become a final decision, or is there more things that can go on after this?
Sure. Regardless of whether or not the board accepts or rejects the ALJ's order in this case, and again, the board does retain the authority to do that. Whatever the final order is that the board recommends, the parties then would have the ability to request rehearing or review. There is a board rule with regard to rehearing or review. I believe it's 1107 or 1702. But once that rehearing or review process occurs, if there's a party that's still dissatisfied, they would have the ability to file a judicial review action. Does that answer your question?
So there's still some things that could go on.
There's additional
appeal the decision that's made here today.
That's correct. And I would note that, recently the Administrative Procedures Act was revised to allow for what's called a meet and confer process. That meet and confer process would need to occur if the board modifies the order in any way. The parties would then have the opportunity to meet and confer. And I would probably recommend to the board, if you have standard terms and conditions for probations with regard to things like continuing education, if probation is something that the board is inclined to order, that you would consider those standard terms and conditions of probation during the meet and confer process.
Okay. So I think, Dr. Hill, if you want to take, I'm not happy with the ALJ's conclusion, not the conclusion, we decided that, but their decision on how that would be handled. I'm not happy with how that, what they're saying it would be handled. I'm not saying that I wouldn't accept other things, but I wouldn't accept that. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Do you have an opinion on what type of action you would like to see taken?
I think if we were to allow the licensee to practice dentistry, I think then we would need to go into this monitoring thing that we've done with some of our other cases where we actually have them practice monitor to make sure that is, and maybe even go in. I'm not sure with the sterilization issue if like something like credits would be a good pathway for that one, but I do think a practice monitoring of procedures in place in that office would be appropriate.
Ms. Pennant.
Thank you, Dr. Hero. So one question is, do we have to change anything? When I'm reading on page 144 in the supplemental package that the evidence supports this recommended outcome is as follows. Number 14, first, the testimony was profound, and although there was the potential for harm, he was not harmed. Well, to me, that's not reason to say, forget the punishment, the patient got lucky. The other issue I have a problem still in number 14 is no evidence was provided that respondent had been disciplined in the past. When in fact, if you look under Arizona Dental License Lookup, you'll see that this was the third time he has been disciplined or he has come before the board. So I'm really having a problem with this judge's findings, and I'm leaning towards not changing our original findings and decision.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett. Mr. Diner.
Thank you. In relation to those paragraphs, numbered paragraphs like 13 and 14, I just view them as the ALJ's recital of mitigating and aggravating factors, and we have already voted on them. But I agree with Ms. Pena that isn't a sufficient mitigating factor, at least in my mind, to reduce this from anything other than suspension.
Thank you, Mr. Banner.
This is Christensen. Am I able to speak now?
Yeah, please. Go ahead. Yeah, please.
You know, I obviously I've given a lot of thought to this situation, and would be in favor of allowing this doctor to begin practicing in a monitored situation, as Dr. Seaman alluded to earlier. I think that what's taken place, summarily suspended back in October. I can only imagine this has been quite a wake up call to him. I also felt like he did everything in his power to try to correct the situation, meeting with the patient, asking, you know, essentially for forgiveness for what took place. The patient was able to move on from this. And, you know, I think at some point we have to allow him to move forward too. And I think he's taken this on. It's been a great burden to him, I'm sure. And I'd be in favor of allowing him to practice in a monitor situation for maybe the next 6 months And that's what I would be in favor of. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Ms. Rossi, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I would just add, you know, this was such a gross lack of judgment in the moment. And I think that you can be remorseful, obviously, after the fact, but it doesn't excuse the fact that in that moment a decision was made that put a patient at risk, regardless of what the outcome was, and he was okay and there wasn't an adverse outcome. That patient's well-being wasn't taken into account in that moment that a decision was made. And as a medical professional with, you know, having patients under their care, we count on the fact that they are going to make proper decisions in that moment to do what's best and protect that patient's health. So I do feel like that was definitely compromised, and I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with, if given a situation in the future that he has to make an in-the-moment decision, would a negative decision be made again in the future?
And I think it's important for the board to remember, when we discussed this last time, this didn't come down to the licensee grabbing a pair of dirty pliers to take out an implant. That was the most abhorrent portion of the case. Mm-hmm. There are several other violations that we found. So just something I think for everybody to take into account. Mr. Goodman, do you have an opinion?
Do I have an opinion? I'm with you, Dr. Hero. Is the headliner of the news story is the horrific picture of the pliers, but the story has considerable depth to it, and we made the right decision and should stay with the suspension.
So, Ms. Smith, I have a question regarding a motion I'm about to make, and, you know, I don't know that it'll go through, but I still need some help with the motion. So if I'm going to make a motion to reject the ALJ's recommended order, does it next have to go to the meet and confer process?
So what would be most helpful, globally, yes, but what would be most helpful is if your motion proposed the alternate resolution, so that the parties, when you have the meet and confer process, the parties can adequately address the proposition. Like, for instance, and I'm just picking based on things that people have said, that if the motion is to reject the recommended order and have the licensee serve a period of suspension or have the licensee practice under a practice monitor for a period of time, that would be something that you would want to specify in your motion so that the parties can, so that when you're in the meet and confer, the parties have an understanding of what the possible outcomes are.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we reject the recommended ALJ's decision and we move forward with the revocation process for the licensee. Mr. Monahan?
For the stage identification, does that include the summary suspension? And again, you'll have to ask Carrie whether that's important to include that in your motion. But I just
basically the motion should be that we reject the ALJ's order and uphold our original order of summary suspension with the intention for revocation.
So then I think in terms of what Mr. Monahan mentioned and this order, it would be. Can I suggest some motion language?
Please do.
Okay. So the motion would be to reject the ALJ's recommended order and enter an order upholding the summary suspension of Dr. Janice's license and to revoke the license and the 1302 permit.
That's my motion. Do I have a second?
No seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Roll call, Sherry.
Hero.
Yes.
Christensen.
No.
Dinar.
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Pinna?
Yes.
Rossi?
Yes.
Seaman?
No.
Motion passes, 2 opposed.
Dr. Hero?
Yes.
Before we move on, I did want to address something I heard come up in the discussion, because I think if the board is going to move into a meet and confer, I think it's important that the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommended order all go together. One of the board members have discussed whether or not 14 is entirely accurate. And if the board is going to if the board is going to revoke the license, my recommendation would be also to strike a portion of conclusion of law 14. Because if the, and again, this could be more fully addressed. I see Ms. Carvis is raising her hand. This could be more fully addressed in the meet and confer process. But the ALJ did find that in this last two sentences that revocation was not appropriate. And if the board does feel that revocation is appropriate, I think the board should, during the meet and confer process, also consider whether or not those last two sentences of paragraph 13 and 14, whether or not those paragraphs need to be modified as well.
Ms. Carvis.
Yes, I just wanted to be heard on a couple of points. One of the board members referenced the fact that there was a statement in 14 that was not correct, that no evidence was provided about past discipline. That is correct. No evidence of that was presented as part of the hearing. Whether or not there actually is prior discipline or not is another matter. No evidence of prior discipline of Dr. Janice was presented as part of this hearing. So as far as that is concerned, that is correct. And Mr. Monahan could certainly address that, but there was no such evidence presented. Secondly, this board has already voted to approve the findings of fact and conclusions of law. So now we want to go back and say, I don't agree with all of those things. So I think from a procedural standpoint, that's somewhat problematic. And lastly, the only thing that I want to say is, while I understand the board members feel that this is an egregious situation, there are individuals who are practicing before this board that have appeared before this board for allegations of touching patients in a sexual inappropriate manner that still have a license, that this board has not voted to suspend, that this board has not voted to revoke. And you're acknowledging that while this was an error in judgment, a huge error in judgment, it didn't result in patient harm. And Dr. Janice is being treated in a way that you have not treated others who've been accused of far more egregious things, including sexual impropriety with patients. And I want the record to reflect that. And we would intend to fully pursue other legal action if this board intends to pursue revocation of his license under the circumstances.
Ms. Smith, regarding striking number 14 and 13, is that something we can address in the meet and confer process?
Yes, and I think it would, in Ms. Carvis, from a procedural perspective, the motion would be also to rescind the approval of those paragraphs, conclusions of law, for consideration during the meet and confer.
So we made that previous motion in conjunction with the findings of fact. So
yes.
But right now you want us to amend that, or you want us to wait until the meet and confer?
I would move those paragraphs in. I would vote to discuss whether or not to modify those during the meet and confer process. Because if you're going to, I understand that those were already approved during the original motion, but the board can vote to rescind its approval of those two paragraphs so that they can be discussed.
So I'll make a motion that we rescind our approval of the aforementioned two paragraphs in the conclusions of law so that we can modify it in the meet and confer process.
Yes, but I think that their previous motion may still be on the floor, though.
No, we voted to revoke and it passed.
Okay, okay. Then that would be the next motion before we move into meet and confer.
Okay, so I just made that motion. Do I have a second?
Rossi seconds.
Discussion?
This is Dinar. I think this whole thing is unnecessary, but I'd go along.
Would the board like to hear from the, would it be appropriate for the board to hear from the state on this? If not, that's fine.
Are you, Ms. Smith, is that okay?
That's up to you. That's within your discretion, Mr. Chairman.
Great. And yeah, we do want to hear.
I did not include, the state didn't argue any evidence related to prior discipline because prior discipline did not have anything to do with the discipline that was moved forward in this case. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the table. Let's get a roll call. Sherry?
Hero?
Yes.
Christensen?
Can you clarify what we're actually voting on right now? I'm sorry.
We're removing some language in the conclusions of law that was in the language that the ALJ judge gave us.
In paragraph 14, line 14.
I think it's just, the motion is just to rescind the approval of conclusions of law 13 and 14.
Okay. And what would that do? I'm sorry. What's that going to?
Because.
You can help me.
Yeah, sure.
Understand it. Thank you.
Because paragraphs 13 and 14 explain the judge's rationale for ordering probation. If what the board is considering is a different rationale, then I think the board should also consider whether or not, a different penalty. The board should consider whether or not a different rationale should be substituted for those two paragraphs. And that's what the meet and confer process would be about.
Determine what route we're finally going to land on.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes.
Dinar?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Pinna?
Yes.
Rossi?
Yes.
Seaman?
Yes.
Motion passes, none opposed. Okay. Agenda item number 4, discussion regarding future meeting and possible action items for future agendas. Mr. Dinar.
Sorry, I don't think this resolves the earlier thing. Maybe Ms. Smith can talk to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dr. Hero, I was going back up to the...
I'm sorry, Ms. Smith.
I was going back up to the script. There is a script portion for the meet and confer process.
Yeah, and I got to apologize to everybody. The computer issues is just making it more difficult for me to navigate through. I can't click on the thing, so just give me a minute. Okay, based on the proposed modifications to the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order, the board will now meet and confer with the parties regarding the proposed changes. Parties should confine their statements to the proposed modifications under consideration pursuant to previous motions. Does the state have any argument with regard to the proposed modification?
The state does not. Only to clarify why that information wasn't in there, the board believes that that's important, then that's the board's job. That would be the board's position to put that back in.
Does the respondent have any argument with regard to the proposed modifications?
Yes, we obviously vehemently depose the proposed modifications. We will not agree to a voluntary surrender or revocation. We believe that those measures are
completely disproportionate and improper and inappropriate under the circumstances. As I stated before, this board very rarely, if ever, has summarily suspended or revoked someone's license. There are people who have been accused of and found to have committed sexual improprieties with patients that are still licensed. This was a error in judgment, while be it a major error in judgment, it resulted in no patient harm. The issues with respect to the parental sedation also resulted in no patient harm. The state argued in the hearing that this was exercising a nuclear option. That's correct. Nuclear option is only appropriate under very limited circumstances, and this is not such a circumstance. This is not how the board has ever behaved in the past. I understand the board's mission to protect the public, but this is an instance in which no patient harm resulted, and the board is seeking to revoke someone's livelihood, their license, when they have they've very rarely, if ever, done that in the past, and certainly not in these circumstances. And as such, we will obviously not agree to any such, we won't agree to any such outcome. It's completely unreasonable. We would be willing to consider something else more consistent with what Dr. Seaman and Dr. Christensen proposed, which is a modified plan to return to practice under monitoring or perhaps something with supervision of the parental sedation. But agreeing to revocation, suspension, inability to practice at all is not something that we're in a position to agree with, nor would we ever agree with.
So having conferred with the parties regarding the proposed changes to the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and or the order, the board will now vote on a final form of order. So my question here, Carrie, is we previously voted that we agreed with the findings of fact. We wanted to modify the conclusions of law with regards to paragraphs 13 and 14. And there was a majority vote to maintain the summary suspension and move forward with revocation. So are we just restating all those motions?
Yes, but you should, because the board is coming to a different conclusion than what the ALJ has recommended, the board should substitute its rationale for that decision. For paragraphs 13 and 14, you don't have to strike the entirety of those paragraphs, but the board, you know, there should be some articulation for the rationale for revocation in for the board's decision.
And that articulation should exist beyond the discussion we previously had as to why.
Right. It needs to be, the board needs to formally suggest some language for that rationale. I know that the board members have discussed it, but there should be some explanation in the order so that when Ms. Carvis exercises her appeal rights, and the, you know, and it's if this case were to go to a judicial review action, the Superior Court judge reviewing the case would be able to understand why the board made the decision that it did.
Okay. Well, first I'll make a motion that we adopt the ALJ's findings of fact.
Well, that's already occurred. Really, the only thing under consideration right now is conclusions of law 13 and 14, whether or not those are going to be changed in any way, and the recommended order. So that's really what we're boiled down to.
Okay. Mr. Dinar, can I put you on the spot to help me with a motion for the conclusions of law?
Yeah, I'll try, Dr. Hero.
Thank you.
So I think, I mean, 13 and 14 were the ALJ's, was the ALJ's opinion as to aggravating and mitigating factors that are present in the case. I went along with sort of rejecting the adoption of 13 and 14, just to, you know, maybe have a clearer record. But I do stand by my previous comments that it's not necessary to modify 13 and 14 in any way. And the board's order of suspension of license would still stand. But here we are, and I think the way to clarify 13 and 14 would be to say that given these mitigating and aggravating factors, there is revocation is still warranted. Is basically what we say in number 13. And in number 14, we say based on the first, second, third, all of the factors listed as evidence, we have to come up with a rationale for the suspension order of the board. So the motion would be, take number 13 and that last phrase, we essentially say that revocation is still warranted under these circumstances. And in number 14, we basically add that even despite this, some of these mitigating factors, the board is justified in suspending license number, whatever the license number is, for the reason that the underlying conduct was unquestionably unprofessional conduct on the part of the licensee.
And Hera will second. Discussion. Let's get a roll call, Sherry.
Hero?
Yes.
Christensen?
No, I'm not in favor of revocation as being part of this.
Dinar?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Pinna?
Yes.
Rossi?
Yes.
Seaman? Dr. Seaman?
No, sorry, I was muted.
Motion passes, 2 opposed. Thank you, Mr. Diner, for your help with that. Okay, Ms. Smith, so now we need to also vote on a new order. Is that correct?
You just did. Oh, yes. The order, yes.
So yes, we vote on an order now.
Correct.
So I make a motion that we uphold our original order to maintain the summary suspension and move forward with revocation.
So it would be to reject the ALJ's, substitute for the ALJ's recommended order that the board uphold its order summarily suspending the license and to revoke the license and permit. Is that correct?
Correct.
Dinar second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Sherry, roll call, please.
Hero?
Yes.
Christensen?
No.
Dinar?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Pinna?
Yes.
Rossi?
Yes.
Seaman?
No.
Motion passes, 2 opposed. Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Smith. I think this concludes this portion of the agenda, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then moving on to agenda item 4, discussion regarding future meetings and possible action items for future meetings. Any discussion? Ryan, you've been unusually quiet. Do you want to say something just for the sake of saying something?
No.
Okay. then again, just thank you to all staff and the board members today for making time for this special meeting. Appreciate it. And meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.